You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Okay, right. Well, we're all situated here, and it's good to see you here this morning. I hope that you get a blessing from God's Word. Let us pray. God and Father, we thank Thee again for this opportunity to meet together. We thank Thee for the book of Ephesians and all that we've learned. And we ask, Lord, that Your Spirit would teach us and bring to our remembrance all that we have learned. And in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, Ephesians is a great blessing to me. And when I look back in my own life, this picture behind me, of course, brings all sorts of memories to me. I'll mention a little bit more once we get some pictures going here. But there's a great blessing in the book of Ephesians. Once you get a hold of what this is all about, its placement, its special message for us in this age, it's a tremendous book. And, you know, I'm sorry, I probably won't do it much justice. There's so much in there. However, we'll try. Last time we looked at this whole thing of the three W's. No, that's not Three Wayne's. Although I'm thinking of bringing out a restaurant called the Three Wayne's. No, not the Three Wallies. Okay, the three W's. The will of the Father, the work of the Son, and the witness of the Spirit. The will of the Father. You get an insight into the Trinity, what's going on within the Trinity. That God the Father's planning, and He's got a purpose. And He carries this out through the work of the Son, and the Spirit brings back to remembrance the things that have been accomplished. This witness of the Spirit is something that we can appreciate. There's also three blessings too, by the way. So there's three B's in there. And so we looked at this in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And we looked at this idea of the spiritual blessings. It's every blessing which is spiritual. Now, a lot of people are trying to get various types of blessings in their lives. They are. And, you know, when I first got saved, I was in a fellowship where, man, I thank God for them. Don't get me wrong. I give them all credit for the fact that they preached the gospel, and the gospel was clear enough that I could respond to it. But you know something? Something has to happen after that. You know, it's not good enough simply to preach the gospel. You know, there's a lot of churches that do that. And thank God that the gospel is preached. But hey, wait a minute. We need to grow after that. We don't want to stay babies. You know? We want to be born, yes. Okay, so that's great that we get into that baby stage. But then we've got to grow. At some stage, we want to get our teeth into a steak. Right? I mean, milk. Nah. I mean, later on, we've got to get into some serious meat. So we need to grow. Now, if you rightly divide the word of truth, you're going to be in a position of being able to see the meat that is for you as a Christian. And without right division, no, you're not going to be able to do this. This picture here is one which will sort of bring to mind this point, that if you look in the scriptures, you will find mention made of all kinds of blessings. Why, there are carnal blessings within the scriptures. We looked at some of this. If you just go back into your Bible, just look at this in Deuteronomy. And just let me remind you about some of the kinds of blessings that were coming to Israel. And that this is reproduced in the New Testament during the time of the book of Acts. So while you're going to Deuteronomy 28, let me just quickly draw up here a little picture of this momentous event of the cross. And while the cross is certainly an important point in history, you find that as far as God's dealings with Israel, they continue. God's dealing with Israel continues on after the cross. In fact, the Lord said on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And we know that the Father always hears the Son. And so they were forgiven, yes. And in fact, a ministry proceeds according to the giving of the Spirit of God. And they go out in the power and the wonder, signs of the Holy Spirit which they work through here. Do I believe that real miracles happen? Yes, I totally believe the account that you read here in what we call the book of the Acts of the Apostles. That yes, there were all sorts of signs and wonders that went on here, and they were used to reach Israel, to provoke Israel to jealousy. But something happened at the end of the book of Acts, and the Bible says this, the salvation of God was sent to the Gentiles and that they would hear it. So over here, we find that the revelation of the mystery, the secret, was given to Paul, the prisoner. So over here, we have Paul, the prisoner. And to him was given this secret message, and he reveals it on to us. Oops, we better get all that S in there. Us. During the previous time, however, there were carnal blessings. Why, people could expect all sorts of wonderful things from the Spirit of God in terms of carnal blessings. And indeed, it was the responsibility of the Roman Christians to look after the Judean brethren in terms of giving them carnal things, because they were partaking of their spiritual things. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 28. And if you look at verse number 1, and it's come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all his commandment which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. This is talking to Israel. In other words, there is a condition here on Israel. If you are obedient to the commands, then you're going to be set on high above all the nations. So this is a promise. They will be set up on high above all other nations. So round about here are all the other nations. But there would be this one shining light up the top here that was to be Israel. If they were obedient. Condition. I can always see this. I mean, we do this often in mathematics. If, then. If the condition holds, then there are consequences. And if the condition doesn't hold, there are also consequences. And some of those consequences are not too savory. Not too savory. And as you read down here in verse 2, and all these blessings. We're talking about blessing, right? Now, our blessings are all spiritual. Every blessing which is spiritual is ours. And it goes on here in verse 2, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep, basket, store. Read it all. Carnal blessings would come to them. That's Israel. Now, what does a person do today? Well, they may come into, for example, into Acts chapter 4. And there they'll read about all things being common. They'll read about all sorts of wonderful things. Let's just read there a little bit, just to show you what I'm talking about. So go to the book of Acts chapter 4 and verse 32. I'm just trying to remind you of the import of what we have discovered. Right, there are some remarkable things that are to be discovered in the Scriptures, which if you are a new Christian, they're going to be important. They're going to be massively important to you. And if you're someone who's seen these before, it's always refreshing to notice them once again. So this is Acts chapter number 4. And we'll read around about verse 32. Acts 4 and verse 32, it says this. And the multitude of them that believe were of one heart and of one soul. Boy, that's pretty amazing, isn't it? Real unity here. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. All things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Distribution, holding all things common. Yeah, there was an economy here, my friends. And this economy was suitable for the time that then was present. Now, you had carnal blessings, you had distribution. Why, it almost looks like some sort of socialism going on here. Right? Well, maybe we should grab this thing here and we should import that into our time. Maybe we can get some sort of Obamacare going. Right? Something really good like Obamacare. You see what happens if you take things which do not belong to you and you import them into the age in which you live now, you are going to get problems. You're going to try and do things to reach Israel, and you're going to look for carnal things, carnal blessings, which you should never ever look for as being promised by God. Why, there are plenty of faithful Christian people who die with no food, no clothing, no house. What, you think these people are not strong Christian people? Do you think they're not saved? Do you think that God has said, oh, I'm not going to care about them? That's wrong, my friends. That's got nothing to do with the blessing of God. That person can have all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places and die with no food, no house, no nothing. Why, even within our ranks here, there's going to be a difference in our bank balance, right? We know it's true. Okay? And how are you going to get carnal blessings today? You're going to go out and work, man. What? You've got to go out and work. You've got to do the hard graft. You see, right division clarifies things. It enables me as a parent to say to my child, you've got to learn this, boy. Because one of these days I'm going to be too old and I'm not going to be able to make any money to look after you. You're going to have to make your own money. You're going to have to go out and supply your own family. You're going to have to do it. And if all you do is sit on your knees and pray to God, oh, please, God, just give me everything, give me everything. I just want to have all things common. And, you know, everything's going to come to me without me putting any work or hard graft in. No, that's not going to work. It's not going to work. Why? Because God doesn't care? No, He cares. That's why He's given us the Scriptures, and that's why He's told us to use the intelligence that God has given us to rightly divide the Word of Truth. Now, without rightly dividing the Word of Truth, man, you might as well have a lobotomy. Right? Carnal, spiritual. Big difference. Very big difference. Massive difference. In fact, if you read on, and down here, if you come on down, look at verse 31 of Acts 20. Oh, not Acts. I should say, go back to Deuteronomy 28 with me. I know I'm pushing around on the Scriptures, but it's good to do that. Deuteronomy 28, and let's see, verse 15 is the one I wanted. It says, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all His commandments and His statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Basket, store, carnal things go bang. Right? So people who do not understand the will of God today, when bad things happen to them, I must have been disobedient to God. That's why that happened to me. Right? Wrong! You see, that conclusion does not necessarily follow. Why? Have a look at how the unrighteous prosper today. Right? Have a look at it. There's plenty of people who are thumbing their nose at God. Man, and they're rolling in the do-re-mi. Right? Does that mean, therefore, because their bank balance is in the zillions, that God is with them? No. It doesn't mean that. But if you don't rightly divide the word of truth, that's confusing. You don't know what you're doing. You're looking at things which are carnal and calling them blessings of God. Not necessarily so, my friends. Right division's important, isn't it? Heavenly places. Different hopes. Why, if you look at Israel, there's the land, there's New Jerusalem. Abraham. Just look at some simple things. Just look at some of the things that are associated with Israel. Abraham. Well, shouldn't we expect that in the economy that ran prior to the one in which we now live, that things related to Israel should be paramount and important? Like, for example, key words. Abraham. Israel. Have a look at that. Look at, for example, here in Galatians, part of the book of Acts. Whammo! 9 times. Abraham. Abraham. Now, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds, as many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Oh yeah, you become heirs. You can look at Abraham, and back there in the book of Acts, you see hopes which relate to you. Why? Because you were graft into the olive of Israel, and there you can partake of their spiritual things. Okay, but what happens once you get across into Ephesians? Once you get into the book of Ephesians, where is Abraham? He's not even mentioned. Why isn't he mentioned? Because you've crossed a great divide, and a new economy has opened up. A new economy. Oikonomia. Oikonomia. Nomos. Law. Oikos. House. Household law. There's new rules for the household, my friend. It's time you cleaned up your house. Because there's new rules. Do you want to learn the rules? Or you want to keep on importing rules from other households? Or, I think I'll take the rules of that guy next door to me, do you? Or the one down the road. Or how about this, friends? Why don't we rightly divide the word of truth and find out what the rules are for the household in this age? Get the right rules, my friends. That's the age in which we live. Paul the prisoner. You keep on importing stuff from other ages, and you're going to have a mess. Mess. Big difference. You say there's no difference. There are huge differences. There are huge differences. Look at this. I got Reuben to do this for me this morning. I said, Reuben, can you just get my online Bible, and I just want you to search out Israel in the New Testament. And he got me some stats, and then I said, okay, I'll put this into R and I'll make a graphic. So here in blue are the epistles outside of the prison epistles. And you can see how Israel's... Look, the word Israel in Romans, in Acts... Huge numbers. You say, but they're used also in Ephesians and Philippians. Yeah, but you know the context of how they're used? Well, you were strangers from the covenants of promise. You know? Aliens of the commonwealth of Israel. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who are sometimes far off are made nigh. That's the context here. And in Philippians, what things were lost for me, those I counted gain. Yeah, he's talking about his being a Hebrew of the Hebrews, and he says, I'm trashing all that. Yeah, he uses Israel here and here, but the context is all negative, my friends. It's all in the past. If you want to go in here and you want to take the blue pill, go right ahead, man. You can stay in fairyland. You can take the blue pill. But I'm telling you right now, the red pill, while it might be a bit hard at the time you take it, and you might lose some friends, it might be hard. In the end, what you're going to see is, you're just a copper top. And you needed to be woken up. And a lot of people are being used in religious circles, aren't they? They're living in a dream world, where they think, oh, I'm Israel, oh, I'm going to get these carnal blessings, oh, look at my bank account. And because they don't rightly divide, and they interpret the world in the wrong way, they're living in some imaginary world in which they are being used. Religiously used. And I don't want that of my family. I want my family to face reality. It's a reality check. That's why we're in the right division. We want to know the real world. We want to live in the real world. And we're taking the red pill, man, and we're sticking with the red pill.
As you guys would say here in the cell.
Peel. Okay? Boy, I'm starting to really enjoy this. Okay, so there's some stuff to do about predestination. That there was a choice made. There was a choice made. Yeah, there was a choice made of God. And it says, before the foundation of the world. Before this catabole, an overthrow, catabolic process occurred. Somewhere back here, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth came without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Yeah, sometime way back God created this whole thing. But then after some time, we don't know how long, there was some kind of judgment that came on that creation. That's the overthrow. And in the mind of God before this time, God had a plan and a purpose. He kept that plan and purpose within the ranks of the Trinity. That's all. Within the ranks of the Trinity, and we read about it in Ephesians chapter 1, there was a will of the Father, there was a work of the Son, and a witness of the Spirit that was all lined up before the foundation of the world. And at just the right time, He released it to Paul. Paul the prisoner, who passes that on to us. And then, of course, there is something over here called from or since the foundation. And that's where the age times begin. Not just times. I mean, you could say, but time was running back here. Yeah, okay, time was running back there. But not the ages. The age times began after the foundation. God's purpose with Israel in ages. Not just time, but age times. So what you'll find is that God is dealing with Israel and her disobedience. Her. Why her? Because Israel was Jehovah's wife. Disobedient wife. Who went out on him. And finally said no to him right here in the end of the book of Acts. And God divorced her. Not forever. There'll become a time when he'll bring her back to himself. How? Because under the law, it's not legal to bring back a woman that you had divorced. You can't do that. It's against the law. You can't do it. How can God do it? How can He break His own law? He's not going to break His law. You know why? Because of the new covenant. And under the terms of the new covenant, she's cleaned up, man. So cleaned up, she's a new person. Not the old wife. She's cleaned up. She'll be brought back to Him as a spotless bride. It's right around the world, isn't it? When someone gets married, the big deal is the bride. And what does she do? She comes in this beautiful white gown, just looks absolutely immaculate and pure, and that's why she's wearing white. Right? White, cleaned up. So it will be with Israel when she will be brought back. Well, those are some of the neat things we've been looking at. Some great truths in there. And this word mystery occurs in Ephesians. Let's go back to the book of Ephesians and let's carry on a little bit further, because I'm getting a bit carried away. Get stuck into the review and we don't get into the new things. So let's have a look at Ephesians, at chapter number 1. And you notice here in verse 5 it says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. The adoption. So it's from children to being sons. So this adoption is huiothesia. It means to be placed as a son. Okay, and here it says, being predestinated unto this adoption by Jesus Christ Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. It says there in verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Now just before I get into that verse 6, because it's very good, very important. In verse 5, where it talks about this predestination, This predestination is prohorizo,
which you can see horizo comes from the, we get the word horizon, which is sort of what I got pictured here. There's been a marking off in terms of the inheritance which is ours. And God did that from before the foundation of the world. He marked off a place for where the church of which Christ is head would have their inheritance. Marked off beforehand. A horizon. A boundary for where we would enjoy our inheritance. And my friends, it's not the same as the nation of Israel. Different. This reminds me of something that I just got to tell you about.
There was a time when the church I was a part of, we had this camp, and it was on a beach, which was owned essentially. Well, not the actual beach, because in New Zealand you can't own a beach. The land up to high tide is everyone's, but after the high tide, you can own that. Well, the land that adjoined the beach was owned by a Christian farmer, and he used to let us have a camp there. So we'd go down to this area here, which was beautiful, and we'd fish. Well, the fishing that day wasn't too good. But as the sun was going down, one of the guys said, well, let's just try it now. So I went out, and Reuben, and so there's three of us in this 12-foot sort of machine, and we went out for quite a way. And we dropped anchor, and it was ridiculously shallow. I mean, we just put the anchor down, bang, and it was there. So we'd gone a long way out, and all we did is park over some sandbar, and it was shallow as anything. I said, okay, it's getting dark. Let's just try it here. Who knows? You wouldn't believe it. We parked over a school of fish. You have never seen anything like it. And no sooner did that hook hit the water, bang! And we're going like this. And we couldn't get the fish off fast enough. It was ridiculous. And I said to the guy who took us out, I said, hey, we've got to go back in. It's starting to get dark now. Anyway, we could have filled the boat. We could have absolutely. Now, what you could imagine is, okay, we'd gone out to that. And so what we're out here, and we're looking back towards land. And it's dark. It's getting dark. So all you could see is the fire, because they started a fire on the beach, which is just as well they did. And as we came in, we realized we caught way too much fish. The boat was just filled with fish, man. And the next day we were smoking these beautiful fish. And everyone had more fish than you could possibly imagine. But anyway, that's a story about fishing. But the horizon is there. Horizon. Horizo. There it is, marked out beforehand, this great inheritance which is going to be ours in the heavenly places. Okay, it says this in verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, and then it says, wherein. So the wherein relates to the grace. Wherein he hath made us accepted. He has made us accepted. He has done it. And the word accepted means to be graced. So let's look at this again, because it's really weird in a way. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us graced in the beloved. In the beloved, that's Christ. So this grace, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein, in that grace, we have been graced. Multiplied grace has been given to us, my friends. That's what it is. That's what it means to be a part of this great blessing. Grace upon grace is ours. And notice it says, made us accepted. It's done by him. And we're accepted in the beloved, in Christ Jesus. And then in verse 7, in whom? That's the beloved. So now it starts on Jesus. Here's the blessings of Jesus. So previously we were talking about the blessings of the Father. Now we're starting to talk about the blessings of Jesus, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. You know, some Bibles try and rip the blood out. You say, why do you read this old fuddy-duddy King James? Well, one reason is because I like to drink next to the source. I don't want to drink downstream, like in the Ganges. You know what I'm saying? What's that floating by? Don't ask.
You know? I want to drink next to the source, not downstream. I read the King James, I believe the King James because I know where it comes from. And the modern Bibles, what they are coming from is some philosophy from people who are really unbelievers. I'll call them W&H, the Westcott and Hort fraternity. Westcott and Hort, who basically in 1881 brought out a new Bible. They called it the Revised, but it's not a revised version. It's a new text from which comes various translations. And they relied on texts which you can find in the Pope's library, essentially. And why is that a concern? Well, if you know anything about history, you'll realize that the Roman Catholic hierarchy was completely opposed to the truth of the right division of scriptures, the preaching of the gospel. They burned people at the stake who believed those sort of things. And it goes on, and it says in verse 8, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. You notice the all. All comes up in here, all through this thing. All wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. The word mystery appears like this in the book of Ephesians. Mystery. The mystery of his will. The mystery of his will. And then it goes on, it says this, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Okay, so that there is part of the prohorizo. That's part of the marking out. We find our place in this great dispensation of the fullness of times as a part of his purpose to do with the heavenly places. But the kingdom of God is bigger than that. It also relates to the earth. It also relates to his purposes to do with this starship, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down and landing on the earth. We have our place, but in the dispensation of the fullness of times, there is going to be a gathering, my friends. A gathering's coming. All things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. So one day, yes, it's going to be true that we likely will be meeting Abraham, we will be meeting some of these other people from other callings and homes. That's way out in the future, right? Somewhere in the dispensation of the fullness of time. And we have our part in some corner of his purpose, which has to do with the heavenly places. And what's the heavenly places going to be like? Well, we don't know exactly, but all we know is this, that God is the God of creation. He can create things, and we can move through all sorts of dimensions. We know mathematically we can handle any number of this dimensions. There's no problem at all. How do we go to heaven? Well, we're going to move through some sort of portal into another dimension. What's it going to be like? I don't know, but it's going to be beautiful, Mary. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be a wonderful time. We're going to look forward to that. It says in verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated. See, that's the destination, the marking off beforehand. According to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Now I'm going to deal with this verse 12 next time, this first trusting. It's before trusting. This is a very important thing, which we'll look at next time. Blessings are ours, my friends. Right division. Is it important? You bet your life it's important. If you're a new Christian, you need to know this. It's what you need to stop you having to go through all of these terrible things, terrible mistakes you're going to have to make before you learn the hard way. Let's not learn the hard way, right? Let's learn the quick and easy way. Rightly divide the word of truth. Then you won't have to go through all this pain and suffering. Right? Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for this time. We ask you to bless us and help us in what we're doing. We thank thee, Lord, for this church where we can meet together and we can sing songs, we can learn, we can open the scriptures in freedom. We pray for our nation here that you would raise up real leaders leaders that are so sadly lacking right around the world. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.